I don't look at what I've got to share this morning as a typical Bible exposition sermon. I hope it's going to be a time of the Holy Spirit-led soul searching. Time to let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. And it's not a time to go on a guilt trip. For the Holy Spirit may convict. He may encourage. He may pat us on the back. Depending upon where we are spiritually. Now, I think I'm probably like some of you. I got some projects that I want to get around when I get around to it. We were talking about that the other night downstairs at the fellowship hall. I know I've had them, and I think they said one of your former pastors used to hand out little round to-its. You know, I've had little wooden, the ones I was given were little round, about the size of a 50 cent that said round to-it on it, and it said, now you can get around to it, you can do it. You know how it is. Tomorrow's a good day to do that. Well, tomorrow comes and I can't do it Tuesday and Wednesday because I'm working on my Bible study. Thursday would be a good day to do it. But something comes up and then also Friday and Saturday, I got to be working on my sermon. And before I know it, 1 week's gone, 2 weeks gone, 2 months gone, 3 months gone. I got some places in our house I don't want you to look. I'm not going to open the door and let you look. Because I'm going to get around to it. But I just hadn't got it done yet. Well, you know, churches are like that too. We have things and projects and ideas that we plan on doing, we want to do, we're going to do, but somehow or another, we just don't ever get around to doing them. Or they take far too long to get them done. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. And I want to read one sad little verse. One sad little verse in Jeremiah, chapter 8. Verse 20, Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now, in a community like this, with folks like you, we understand that. You guys cutting hay, you know you got to get it at a certain time or it's going to not be so good or it's going to be ruined. If you don't get your seed in the ground at the right time, you're not going to get a harvest. But if you mess around too long or the weather's bad, you're not going to get a harvest because the crop's going to be ruined. And as a mostly housewives, especially in previous generation, if you didn't get it canned and frozen when you had it, it rotted. It didn't matter how many beans or peaches or whatever it was that you had, if you didn't get them taken care of when you had them, they ruined. Now in our generation, well, what's the big deal? We'll run down to Ingles or a Food Line or Walmart and just buy stuff. But you go back 75 years when all those stores didn't exist. And folks, if you didn't get it canned or dried or taken care of, you're in a world of hurt. There's a lady down at Trinity right now that's about my age. She's there because she fell and broke something. she's just wanting out of there bad. She said last year, she's a widow. Last year she canned over 1,000 quarts for kids or grandkids, great grandkids. I know a lady up in the mountains in her 80s. If something happens to her, she's got some nieces that are going to be in a world of hurt when it comes to their food supply. Because I forgot how many hundreds of quarts of stuff she did for them last year. We know we've got to take care of it while the things are available and right, or it comes a time it's too late. Well, you see, Jeremiah had been preaching and prophesying to Israel, saying, listen, folks, you've got to repent or else. You've got to repent. You've got to come back to God. You've got to quit playing church. You've got to take it seriously. Your sins are separating you from your God and from the blessing of God. And if you read the first 8 chapters and on into further into Jeremiah, you find out he keeps pointing out the sin of the people. And in one way or other, they keep saying, we're not changing. We are not going to be any different from the way that we are right now. And you know, it wasn't many months until Israel, Judah, was taken off into captivity in a foreign land. They so separated themselves from God that they opened up a door for the enemy to take them captive. Well, you say, okay, preacher, what's that got to do with Barbie's Grove? Now, as I said, it's not a time for guilt tripping. It's a time for the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. You know, it's been over 2 years since Philip left. I've been here almost 2 years. What have we done in 2 years to cause this church to grow and to advance the kingdom of God? What have we done to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit to grow the kingdom of God at Barbie's Grove? What have you personally done? Been faithful in attending? Faithful in giving? Faithful in praying? And you see, this is where I say the Holy Spirit may convict. He may pat you on the back. Because each of us are different. What have we personally done to advance the kingdom of God that we call Barbie's Grove Baptist Church? Have you talked to former attenders, former members that don't go to church anywhere and encouraged them to come back? Have you talked to new folks and coupled your talking with prayer so that those people might be touched by the Spirit of God and be drawn? What about it? What have we done to grow the kingdom of God personally? I'm not asking what your intentions were. That round to it don't get it done. I'm saying, what have we actually done? What has your Sunday school class done the group that you're a part of, the committee that you're on. What have we actually done as a Sunday school class or a group or a committee to grow the kingdom of God that we call Barbie's Grove Baptist Church? You see, only you and the Holy Spirit can answer that question. I imagine that for some of you, the Holy Spirit's patting you on the back saying, you've been doing good. I don't know about all of us. What have we personally done? What have we done as a group to reach this community, to grow this church? You see, church growth is not an automatic thing. It doesn't just happen. There's a little black church building that basically sits in my backyard. There's a little patch of woods between us. And there's a for sale sign out in front of it. And it hit me the other day. I said, you know, Ed, you ought to see what the price on that is. See if you just buy it and start your own church. But you know, I know that, and right now the lawn needs mowing bad. I mean, you know, you could almost cut it for hay. Not quite, but almost. But I could buy the place or whatever, or rent it and mow the lawn and put out a sign, church. And I'd hope my wife would come. I don't know. Nobody's going to show up if I don't go around my neighborhood and knock on a few doors, call some friends. Just because I put a sign out there that says, the Ed Louder Baptist Church or whatever, that don't get it done. What have we done to reach this community for Jesus Christ? What are we doing, and what are you personally doing to make this church welcoming, accessible, friendly, attractive to newcomers? Serious. You see, if we do not attract people, new folks, some of us in 25 years are going to look over the balcony of heaven and say, you know, it's a shame that doors are shut and the lights are out and nobody meets there anymore. Are we willing to do those things that we might not be real comfortable with so that the church could grow? In other words, is the will of God more important than my wishes? Or what's more important to me? Where's our heart? How much do we really care? How much do we really care? How serious are we? We used to, when I was a kid, used to hear this statement, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Do we have good intentions and not follow through, or do we follow through? What really matters to us? The state of North Carolina, the county of Stanley, are full of non-believers and non-churchgoers. It's not like there's one, when I moved to Siler City, eventually I first went there as interim pastor at Loves Creek Baptist Church. And of course, then I moved over to Brush Creek as interim and then became their pastor. There's a pastor that came to Loves Creek in later years. It was from up in the mountains. And he said the reason he left his church up there was there wasn't but three lost people left in his whole community. They'd gotten everybody saved but three people in that whole, whether you want to call it a cove or a hollow or whatever, that he said everybody in the whole area but three were saved. And he was looking for a new challenge. Well, folks, it's not like that around here. You can go up and down the road and there's unsaved, unchurched folks everywhere. It's not like we don't have it, you know, we've got 10 churches trying to find and talk to three people. There's unsaved, unchurched folks everywhere. How much do we really care? Do we let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us? I want to look at another passage of Scripture. Go with me to the book of John. John, the fourth chapter. John, the fourth chapter. And the lead up to what we're going to say is, you know, Jesus stopped at the well in Samaria. The disciples go into the town to buy some food. There's a woman that comes up and in the middle of the day, which is unusual, and when you realize she'd been married multiple times and was living with a man that was not her husband, she was a social outcast, she probably didn't feel comfortable showing up when the other women showed up in the morning or the afternoon. And Jesus talked to her about the water of life, and she got so excited. She goes running back into town and said, "Hey, I met a man that told me everything I ever did. He's the Messiah. He's got to be the Messiah." And some of them believed because of her word, and some of them came out and they saw Jesus and he talked to them. He stayed another couple of days, and others of them became believers because of what Jesus had shared. And in the context of this, in John 4, beginning at verse 34. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus said, "I've got one goal. That's to do what my heavenly Father sent me to do and to complete it. Don't give up till it was done. Don't stop until it's over. Keep going. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The harvest is now, not in the past and not in the future. It's now. There's lost people all around us now. You remember over in the book of Acts where Paul is witnessing and the guy says, "Go away, I'll call you again at some convenient season." And as far as we know, no convenient season ever came up, and the guy's in hell today. How sad if convenient season for somebody over here and here and here and here comes and goes and nobody reaches them for Jesus. How sad. How sad if there are people that are hurting. You know, they're saved, but they're hurting. They've lost loved ones. They have rebellious kids. They have an abusive spouse or whatever. They're hurting. And nobody loves on them. Nobody takes that convenient season to minister to the love of Jesus to them. Jesus says the harvest is now. And then he says in verse 36, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. He said there's a reward for those that sow. There's a reward for those that reap. You may sow and sow and sow and never see a harvest. But somebody's going to reap. Just popped in my mind. There's a couple that I visited up in the mountains. I don't know. You know, maybe for 6 or 7 years, I'd visit them once or twice a year. I couldn't get them to church. And then one day, my wife and two other ladies from her Sunday school class went to visit the lady and said, Nancy, we need you in our class. And I don't know what else they said, but next week, Nancy showed up. Now, why they like my wife better than me, I don't know, but I'd visited a long time. I'd been sewing. But she and those two ladies that went with her, they did the reaping. And it wasn't long till Arnold was coming with Nancy. It wasn't long till they were faithful. It took us 7 or 8 years. But we didn't quit. And Jesus said, there's a reward for those that sow and those that reap. Are you a sower and a harvester in the kingdom of God? Two years have come and gone since Philip left. What are we doing to build up the kingdom of God that we call Barbie's Grove Baptist Church? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If the Holy Spirit has convicted you, repent. If He's encouraged you to keep up the good work, keep it up. If He's patted you on the back and said, I appreciate what you're doing, then thank Him. Be encouraged and keep up the good work. The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish. There's not a lost person in this community that God doesn't want saved. There's not an unchurched person that God doesn't want in a church somewhere. Will you be the hands and feet of Jesus? Don't wait to get around to it. Just do it. Father, encourage our heart. Give us ideas and people and words to say to reach this community for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. As we have the invitation, if there's a way you need to respond, to accept Christ, to rededicate your life, or come to the altar and pray, we invite you to come.